What a pray for Chark, he has a word. We've seen Chark in the last few weeks just really elevated to a new level in the city. And the last week with Tommy Zito here, has stepped into an anointing and power. We want to walk with him through it and support him. And I was really blessed to hear them call up Pastor Val. Pastor Chark and Pastor Val. She doesn't like that. We're not title people here, as you know, but it's honoring to recognize the gifting in people, and we did. So yeah, tomorrow's your wedding anniversary as well.
41 years.
Part-timers. 41 years. But reach out your hands and let's bless Chark and Val as they celebrate life together and the calling on their lives and the word that we preached this morning. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing in this man's life and in Val and their family. Lord, we pray that your power and your anointing will be upon him beyond his abilities, beyond everything that you've given him so far, Lord. We thank you for what you're doing through this congregation and through the leadership that Chuck brings. We pray your blessing on the word that's preached this morning. May it touch our lives, Lord, as we've prepared our hearts to receive the seed. We pray there be fruit coming forth. Amen. Amen.
Thanks, Graham. Appreciate that. Thank you. So just envision this is like a park, a beautiful park. Everyone likes parks, so just envision this as a glorious park, okay? Whatever you can envision in your mind of a park. So this is a beautiful park. I mean, I don't know, I'm not a connoisseur of flowers, but as you can tell. Turn to someone next to you, and one of my favorite words, who could tell me one of my favorite words is? I use it a lot. What's the word? Peace, yeah? What is another one? Beautiful. Turn to someone next to you and tell them they're beautiful. You're beautiful. You're all beautiful. Yes, beautiful people. I love beautiful people. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. This is good. It's good to be together. So walk in the park. You never know who you're going to meet. I remember during COVID, it was really fun walking the trails. People would either, you know, give me lots of space, you know, or they would engage, you know, because they were just missing people and they wanted to engage. And then I remember these two ladies, they walked by me and they were kind of covering their faces a little bit. I think maybe they didn't want to breathe my air or whatever. And they went by me and I said, hello. And they walked by me. And then I keep walking this way. They're walking this way. And I said to myself, hello? And I could hear them chuckling, eh? Because they said nothing. You know, they just said nothing. I thought, you know, that's not really human, you know, not to say hello. So we're walking in the park today, and you never know who you're going to meet in the park. You're just walking along, right? You can meet anyone in the park, and I'm walking along, and...
Yo, dude.
Hey, my name's Chuck. What's your name?
Peter.
Nice to meet you, Peter.
Nice to meet you as well.
So I got two things I want to tell you really quick, okay? God loves you, and he has a perfect plan for your life. He has a beautiful plan for your life. So before you go, I want to ask you a quick question, okay? You know, 6 years ago, I had a heart attack, almost died, you know, and God forbid that you should die today. But if you were to die today, and you get to heaven, and God says, why should I let you in? What are you going to say?
I'm a good guy. I do nice things, help people.
Well, Peter, I just want to pray for you right now. I want to pray a blessing on you. Is that okay? I'm going to just pray. Lord, I just pray a blessing on this man, Peter. I pray you'd bless his family. I pray you'd bless his life. I pray you'd bless his health, Lord, his future. Lord, just let your hand rest on him. And if Peter's never accepted you as his Lord and Savior, Lord, would you just direct him? Would you draw him to do that even now? I want to tell you three things really quick. You know, the Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Now, I know I am a sinner, I've sinned, and I think you might admit to that as well.
I do.
Okay. The second thing is the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And the third thing I want to tell you is that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. You're a whosoever, right?
Absolutely.
Of course you are. Now, I want to ask you if you would like to receive this gift of eternal life, if you'd like to receive this free gift through Jesus of eternal life. And I'm just going to ask you right now to pray along with me right here. I'm just going to ask you to pray along with me right here. Jesus, just would you pray this prayer with me?
Sure,
okay.
Absolutely.
Okay, Jesus.
Jesus.
Come into my heart.
Forgive me for my sins.
Wash me.
Change me.
And set me free.
Set me free.
Let me never be the same again. Jesus.
Jesus.
I believe you died for me.
I believe you died for me.
You rose from the dead.
You rose from the dead.
Help me to live for you.
Help me to live for you.
And fulfill everything you've called me to do.
And fulfill everything you've called me to do.
I thank you that I'm now forgiven.
I thank you that I'm now forgiven.
And on my way to heaven.
On my way to heaven.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. So I just want to give you some good news, probably the best news you've ever received, is that your sins have all been forgiven. He's forgiven your sins, and you're on your way to heaven. And I want to tell you that if you mess up, you make mistakes, don't run away from God, but run to Him. Is that okay, Peter?
It's all good.
It's been really nice to have met you.
Nice to have met you as well, Chuck.
And I want to give you one more thing just before you go. I want to give you this, and this is a gift. This QR code will lead you to a free Bible. An introduction to a welcome into the family of God because of what you've just done. And also, it will list the churches in the area, in the Ottawa area, so that you can choose a church and get connected.
This one as well?
This is in there.
Absolutely.
Okay. You go sit down, Peter.
Thank you.
You go sit down, Peter. So I gave this to someone this week, and I didn't know I would see them again right afterwards, but I was downtown, and after I prayed this prayer with this young man, I gave him this card, and so he went into his house, and I went to the mission. I want to tell you about the mission in a second, so let's try Tommy's thing. Okay, everybody say mission. I love that. Everybody say mission. Okay, so I went to the mission, and then I come back to my car on daily, and he's back outside. He had disappeared, and he's back outside his house. So I go up to him, and I said, I don't do social media, but can we get our picture together, you know? And I said, we're going to get together for coffee. We're going to connect. And he had, in between that very short time when I went to the mission, he had used the QR code and looked up our church. You know, he says, hey, you've been to Belize. Like, that's really cool. You know, like he knew stuff about me in only a few minutes. You know, he had discovered these things. Yesterday, we parked the car at the underground thing, the World Trade Center. And so we went in, and as you get older, you got to use the bathroom more often, right? So anyway, long story short, more information than you needed. So I'm walking down the hall there and to the bathroom, and there's the janitor, you know, just in the hallway. Boy, what a nice face, you know. Everybody has a nicer face now. And like, I don't know, I just look around. I love everybody's face. But so I see him and I say, hey, can I tell you two things? And he says, sure, yeah, what? They said that God loves you and has a plan for your life. And then I talked to him about heaven. I used the card. The thing is that what I've noticed this week and what has kind of changed in me a little bit is the openness of people. Very seldom were we rejected. Very seldom were we turned away. And what I learned too is I learned something that I had seen on the Camino, and it's simply this, is that most times we don't get to see a person's heart, or we don't get to see what they're going through. You know, someone said, be kind to everyone because everyone you meet is fighting a great battle. Well, on the Camino, at the end of the day, everybody would take off their shoes. You know, they put on their sandals. And I remember being in a church service one evening, the Catholic church in on the Camino, and in front of me was a Catholic priest. And I looked down, and there was blood all down the back of his feet, you know. And many people experienced that. I had Keith back there praying for me for happy feet. You know, remember that, Keith? And I didn't have one blister. Now, I'm just incredibly grateful for that. But that's not the story I wanted to tell. The story I wanted to tell is that I would have never seen this if he had not taken off his shoes, if I had not. And so in this particular case, people begin to open up. And so I learned about schizophrenia. I learned about, you know, anxiety, you know, people that are filled with all kinds of different things, you know, and they begin to open up. There's a softening that happens. Even the prayer, like, and I want to say this, that this script is anointed. Like, I, you know, and you might find that hard to believe, but it's a very short script, but you know, it's biblical, right? I mean, every part of that is Bible. It's all true, but there's an anointing to it. And the person is even the prayer at the beginning, you pray for the person at the beginning, even, you know, and you don't ask, you know, you just say, you know, I really like to pray for you right now. And you just pray a blessing. Everybody likes that. Right away, there's that, you can feel the softness, you know, of the person right there. And then you go further and you say, would you like to receive this free gift? And you pray that very simple prayer. The guy yesterday, the janitor, said this to me. He said, he said, can I have that? And I said, yes. And he put it in his pocket and he said, you know, I'm going to pull that out. I'm going to go over that. And see, that's the thing. Because you can criticize, or people can criticize that and say, well, it's not as simple as that. Well, actually, it is as simple as that, you know? It is as simple as that. The taking of it and the salvation of it is in God's hands. You know, He's the author of salvation. He's the God who saves. But what I loved is the openness of people. 50 years ago, I was lost. I was incredibly lost. I was lost. I don't know how much of the story I'm going to tell you, but I want to tell you because I said mission, right? Everybody hear mission? So 50 years ago, I was lost. I was not found. I was lost. I got on the back of a motorcycle. I just popped some drugs in my body, and I'm on the back of a motorcycle with the man that eventually led me to Jesus. I'm on the back of this motorcycle going through some rainy weather, windy roads, and I'm thinking, why is he driving so fast? Why is he driving so fast? And these drugs are taking effect, and I'm thinking about hell. I really am. I'm thinking about this motorcycle crashes right now, I know where I'm going. You know, I know, like I was lost, you know. And those are back in the days where bumper stickers were everywhere for Jesus, you know. My mind goes so many stories when I think of that. But on the back of his helmet, he had Jesus stickers. In the back, here I am reading about Jesus, you know, in the back of his motorcycle. So what happened is, 50 years ago, I was lost. And this was Thanksgiving. So I know at Thanksgiving time, 50 years ago, I was lost. I was 17 years old, so you can do the math, okay? I feel as young as I was when I was 17. I really do, you know. I'm a fan of Isaiah 40, you know. They that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. Like, I believe that with all my heart, you know. But anyway, in any case, so 50 years ago, I was lost. And Thanksgiving, I was lost. He took me home. I said to him one night, the darkness was so dark in me. I said, Daryl, I just got to get out of here. There was too much light. There was too much love. There was too much something. I had to get back, you know, and I went back. You know, it talks about the dog going back to his vomit. I remember Daryl to this day, and you know, Daryl's my all-time favorite man because he led me to Jesus, but he's standing there in his driveway and tears are coming down his face. And he said, have I offended you? Did I do something? And Daryl had done nothing but love me. He'd done nothing wrong. But I said, no, I just got to go back. I got to go back. And he drove me. We were in Pembroke. He drove me to the bus station. I went back. I was living at 35 Waller, the Union Mission for Men. There was a party one night just shortly after that. Everybody was drunk. And there was a man in there that was not a nice man. He was not a good man. And I said something about his girlfriend, and he didn't like that. And so he took one of the bottles of wine. He broke it. And he had the bottle like this over my face, and he was about to drive it in like this. And the only other guy in the mission that was strong enough took his wrist right there and held it back, you know, from doing that. But I don't know if I would have been killed that night, but I certainly would have a major scar, you know, as a result of that. But I'm thankful that God spared my life. But that was sometime after Thanksgiving and probably before early November. So I don't know at what point it was, but I point up to the third floor, the old part of the building at the Union Mission for Men, 35 Waller, and it was there that I got down on my knees and said, I want what Daryl has. I want what Daryl has. And, you know, God doesn't need a fancy prayer. You know, he knows. And I woke up the next morning, the sky was blue. There was a peace in my heart that I never experienced before. No drug had ever given me anything like this before. So clean, so pure, so beautiful. So I was lost, and then I was found. I was lost and then I was found. So let me begin. I want to read a couple of scriptures, then I want to continue on just for a few minutes this morning. In John chapter 12, verse 24, let me read this scripture. John 12, verse 24. Jesus said, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. It remains only a single seed, but if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it, but the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, that where I am, my servant will be also. I want to turn to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, starting at verse 24. Jesus said this. He says, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life must lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good will it be for a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his own soul? You know, I was in Costco yesterday, and Costco is a toy store, right? Like, it's kind of, you go in there. I actually almost said this to a guy in the aisle. I was watching him look at some stuff, and I almost said this. And it's not that I wouldn't say it, because I would say, I talk to people all the time. You know, I'm just a talker. You know, so I'm walking down, and I'm thinking, this guy's looking at all this stuff, and I'm thinking, yeah, you know, like, we didn't know all the stuff we couldn't live without, you know? That was the went through my mind, you know, until you get in there, you don't know all the things. And so I come up to this thing, and, you know, it's really fancy. It's a box. It's, you know, I'm wondering, what is this? This is a product I've never seen before, and I'm looking at it, and I open the lid, you know, and I'm thinking, well, maybe it's like a garbage can or something, you know, and it's got two little cylinders in it, and it's for warming your towels. Warm it. And yeah, I didn't know I could live without it. You know, like Anyway, I didn't buy it. But, you know, we have such a short amount of time, you know. Do you have the picture of me from the other night? Can you just throw that one up, and then you can all turn to the back of the church. But the one from the other night, I got a few I wanted to show, just about four or five, but there's not much time left. There really isn't. There's not a lot of time left. I got an email this week from our dear Maria. Valerie and I met Maria 40 years ago in Guatemala, and then she introduced us to her family, and we've been friends. Bob has kept the momentum going for 40 years. We've kept in touch for 40 years. The Papa Yaks, the pastor there, is 98, is that right? And his health is failing, and Maria's going to be going there shortly, and she's praying that Papa Yaks will just hang on, you know, like she wants to see her father one more time. You know, she's in Halifax, and she wants to see him one more time. And Lord willing, Valerie and I will be there in November as well when Maria's there. We hope to see Papa Yaks as well. I read just recently about a man, 23 years old. His name is Balin Miller, and Balin Miller was climbing El Capitan in California, and he fell to his death at the age of 23. I've watched some of this online. I've watched some of these men climb these rocks. You're just on pins and needles, you know, as they're going. But I wanted to say to young people, because we don't know the hour or the day. And I know I'm speaking to the choir mostly here this morning, but at the same time, the Bible says that God has put eternity in our hearts. And so here is a man, 23 years old. I mean, I'm 67 years old, and he went before me, you know. So there is no guarantees. And you know, the first thought I had was, what do you think the first thought was? Yeah, exactly. Where's he spending eternity? And so I go online, and sometimes I've done this before. I've looked it up, but I could find nothing, you know, and I trust that I missed something, that there's something out there that says that a friend actually did share Jesus with him, or a pastor or somebody, you know, that he did accept the Lord into his heart. I remember hearing a story that Kay Arthur tells. Kay Arthur is the founder of Precept Ministries. Beautiful. If you ever precept upon precept, great Bible studies. I often use her materials just to research and look out, you know, look up a certain portion of scripture. So Kay Arthur was in an elevator in a hotel that opened. And I wish I could remember the exact specifics of the story, but the most important part of this story is what she did. And this is the story. The elevator opens up, and there's John Wayne in the foyer. And I perk up when I hear this story, because I was a John Wayne fan, you know. But she was prompted to share Jesus with John Wayne, you know? And so she did. She did. She was obedient. She was obedient. And so I could tell many stories along those lines. I remember being on the Camino, where I passed a lady that I just discovered something about a little while ago. She didn't speak English, but she was robbed on the Camino, and that very rarely happened. You know, it was a very safe place, but all her money was taken. A couple of young guys just took all her money, and so I remember passing her. I was not involved. Like, I was in a restaurant or something, and they were telling us the story about her. And then later on, I was on the Camino, and I passed her, and she was sitting on a rock, and I passed her, and I got a certain distance, and then I could go no further, you know, and I turned around, and I was able to say a little something, but mostly I was able to help her. Our Christianity, you know, is costly. This Christian life is costly. If I don't say anything else that resonates or that you hear this morning, is that our Christian faith is to cost us something. It's to be, you know, the most costly life that you could ever live. And the way this works is Christianity 101 is, the Bible says, my sheep hear my voice. And what does it say after that? They follow me. They follow me. So Christianity 101 is that we hear the voice of the Lord and we obey. We hear, we listen, and we obey. And that can be costly. That cost me on the Camino. It cost me on the Camino. There are many, many times hearing the voice of God has cost me. One of the things that's the most valuable to all of us is our time. And I often, you know, I know this so often now, I have to chuckle when it happens, but it's interruption, you know, because it doesn't, somehow or other, it's not convenient. You know, it's not these things that are asked of us, or this things that a disciple would do, are not convenient. In fact, Jesus said, when they ask you, the soldier, which he could ask you to carry his stuff for a mile, his you know, luggage or whatever, go with him too, you know, go with him too. This is the call of discipleship, is to go that extra mile. You know the phrase, go the extra mile? So our Christianity costs us something. I love having grandchildren. It's the most beautiful thing in my life right now in terms of people that I love and that I get to spend time with. But I'm observing again what happens with children and how, you know, no is a big word with them, you know. No, it's not just the terrible twos, you know, it isn't. It's like, and we're homeschooling them a little bit too on Mondays, you know, so that's, I love that part of it. You know, I work them right up to the A plus because I like that. They love when grandpa gives them the A pluses, you know, but it's like, no is, you know, getting them sometimes to the table, you know, no, you know, this kind of thing. And that's, we're to lose that vocabulary as Christians. We're to lose the no vocabulary. And we're to say yes. When the master asks us to do something, we say yes. And the best way, I encourage my own life with my own heart with this, and I encourage you, is to develop a habit of yes. And I say to people, no is healthy too. There is a place for no, but most people are, you know, most people don't have trouble saying no. So I'm not talking to you guys so much, okay? I'm talking to people who don't pray first. If you pray and there's a no, then that's one thing. But if you don't pray, if you don't, you know, and yes is not in your vocabulary, especially when it comes to the master's voice, you know, that's when no doesn't have a place, you know, like it's not like he's one that you don't want to say no to, you want to say yes to. And the other thing is he wants to trust us. He wants to trust you and he wants to trust me. And he'll trust the ones that he knows will say yes. You know, the ones that, and I've been invited into some very precious, I mean, it's almost holy. You know, some of these things, they feel holy. You know, like how did that happen? You know, how did I get to go there? And it was a yes that paved the way, you know, maybe even a series of yeses that opened a big, you know, and then I was ready to say a big yes. You know, I almost didn't jump onto this call to be part of a leadership team in the city. And this is a true story. I'll tell you this really quick. I knew that Isaac Gimbo was calling together some people that would walk together very closely. Because what's happening today is different than what has ever happened before in history, okay? We are not where we've ever been in history. There is an openness in people, what we experienced out on the streets, what we experienced, and it's not to, that's just like priming the pump, you know? It's got to be my neighbor Paul that I saw this morning put his canoes on his roof, you know? It's got to be our families, it's got to be our coworkers, it's got to be those other kinds of things, but it primes the pump, you know? Like it gets us, you know, going down to the mission for me was just regaining a heart, you know, like the heart that God gave me at the beginning, you know, for the lost, because I was lost and I wanted others to be found. So I wasn't going to talk about my neighbor's canoe, but just the simple fact that we need to say yes. You know what I came away with is I want you to think of someone right now that you either have been concerned about. You know they're lost. They're not found yet. They're lost. I want you to think about somebody. Somebody, it might come up easy in your heart, really easy, or you might have to think for a moment, but just take a moment and think of somebody, okay? Or even two people. Just take a moment. Now I want you to just begin to pray for that person. Just pray for them. Lift them before the Lord. Just pray for them. Pray for their salvation. Pray for them. Okay, two things. One, prayer softens our hearts. First, it softens our hearts. It softens our hearts. The other thing it does is it opens doors. God really hears prayers. He really answers prayers. He really heard your prayer right now. He heard my prayer. And he softens our hearts and he opens doors. And what I learned, and it wasn't, you know, I never quite understood this as clearly as I did this week, but it's, you know, the Bible says, freely we received, freely give. I can remember during the Toronto days and you know, walking streets. I remember talking to my barber, you know, like I remember walking down the streets and feeling the Lord's presence and just, you know, communing with him, you know, singing. There were lots of songs that came out of Renewal, you know, it'll never stop, it'll just get better. Let us rejoice in the Lord, you know, or give me another drink. Remember that one? I want another drink. You know, Valerie was never drunk in her life, you know, raised a Mennonite, you know, never, you know, just a beautiful family. I married into the most beautiful family, but she never drank. She never got drunk. And during Renewal, and even to this day, she is susceptible to the Holy Spirit. She's susceptible to drinking the Holy Spirit and getting, you know, the Bible says, be not drunk with wine. You know, it uses that comparison, but be filled with the Spirit. You know, there's no coincidence there. I mean, anybody, you don't have to be really educated to understand there's a connection between being drunk with wine and why he used that and being filled with the Spirit, except it's so clean. You know, Sunday mornings were the worst day of my life when I was lost. I can remember to this day, Sunday mornings, I was lonely. I was, there was just something, you know, after the night before, but it was like, but I think in me, there was something I knew, you know, I was not on the right side of things. You know, I was not living the way I was supposed to, but I was lonely and I was lost. But be filled with the Holy Spirit. So back to the story. So Isaac was looking for a group of 12 to walk with, to develop a relationship with. And keep me on that track with that. But I want to say this about that is that part of this new day is a day of maturity. And I want to speak this over this body right now, the body of Christ, is that the Bible says that the fivefold ministry is used to bring us into unity, intimacy, and maturity. Unity of the faith, intimacy, knowledge of the Son of God, and until we all attain the a level of a maturity. And this is what I'm noticing is this maturity in the body of Christ is accelerating right now. It's accelerating. While I'm thinking, I want to finish the story and then show you. Can you cue up the fun video I have, the little video? I'm looking at the back wall and we don't have a lot of time. But just while he's queuing that up, we got time. Good. So maturity is really important right now in the body of Christ. It's very important. It's very important. Isaac went after some people. I knew that. I didn't know exactly how he was doing this. I didn't really know exactly. I just knew that he put it out there, and I got the impression that some people signed up. You know, they said, "I signed up for this. I'm really for unity." And so I remember I was in Hamilton, and the phone rang, and it was Isaac. So let me back up just a little bit before the phone call. So I'm walking the trails. I love walking the trails near my house. I'm walking the trails and I'm praying. And God, you know my heart. You know, since my heart attack, you called me to, you said that my life was about the family, that, you know, it was about the family of God, that the Father had a family and he wanted to bring the family together, and that you spared my life so that my life would be about the family, and that the Father, you have a beautiful family. And I've always had this heart of unity since I was 17. Ken brought a guy into the church and the guy spoke, and I remember drinking. I remember being touched. I can tell you the man's name. I can tell you that he brought something that touched my life, you know, that touched the life of the congregation. But he was from a different stream, a different flavor, a different stream, or like whatever you want to call it. And so he leaves, and Ken gets criticized. He got criticized for inviting that man. You know, how would you invite that man, you know, from that stream into our church, you know? And here I am, just 17 years old. I never knew about that till later. When I was in Bible college, Ken let me write some papers, you know, and he let me in on some secrets, you know, like so I could do these pastoral papers, you know, that I had to write. So I got to know some of the background to this. But the fact is, and that's not a huge secret or anything, but I mean, Ken got criticized a lot through his ministry. We've all been criticized. Annie, have you been criticized? Just put your name in on Google, but you know, if you want, you know, like there's got to be someone out there that found one thing about Annie. I don't know. It'd be a hard task. But in any case, as a young man, I developed this love for the body of Christ. And so to this day, I've gotten in the habit of saying, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear it. In the old days, I used to say, just turn the channel. You don't like Benny Hinn, don't watch him, turn the channel. But for goodness sake, you know, don't just speak out bad things about him. When the group of people, when I was 17, 18 years old, they're talking about Bill Prankard, he's got a swimming pool. Can you imagine? This is back in the 70s. He has a swimming pool. Like, you know, like imagine the size of his house. And I remember not being able to enter into that criticism. I said to them, I said, what are you guys doing? This guy's doing all this kingdom stuff. We're doing nothing, you know, and we're just criticizing. So this week they met a lady. She was on her way to make an appointment with MAID, medical assistance in dying. And she saw them across the way, and she saw a glow on their faces. These ones that were out, these two that were out sharing their faith. She saw a glow on their faces, and they came up to her and she changed her appointment. Isn't that amazing? Yeah, yeah. That's just one story out of hundreds that came out of this week. I mean, it's just phenomenal. It's beautiful stuff. Isn't that beautiful? How'd you like to be part of that encouragement, eh? And let me read a scripture here. It says in Ephesians 4:29, it says, do not let any unwholesome word or talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. I want to read it one more time. This is perhaps one of my favorite, not favorite scriptures. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. You know that division is very ugly. Division is very ugly. Unity is very attractive. It's very, very attractive. Let me turn to John 17. So unity is very attractive. It also has a fragrance to it. I'm loving these African guys. They know how to put on fragrance. I mean, you know, you hug these guys, and I mean, they don't only dress well, you know, they smell well, you know, they just, I gotta get me some of that, you know, get me some of that fragrance. John chapter 17, just a couple of verses, but look at this, verses, starting in verse 20. My prayer is not for them alone, I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. That's us, okay, we're included here, Jesus, it's in red here. That all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in them, may they also be in us, that the world may believe that you sent me, that the world may believe that you sent me. We are the most attractive people on the planet. I'll just tell you that right out. And I'm finding that's becoming even more true than ever before. That the people of God are the most attractive people on the planet. Because we carry him, you know? You know, I had this thing when I was 17. He deposited something in me where I just want to love people. And something kind of wants to, it's like it's wanting it to come out, you know? Like it's just, I can't explain it other than that. And I've paused sometimes to give thanks for it. Because any time I've tried, you know, I've entertained any credit for it, you know? Like, you know, Chuck, nice guy, you know, that kind of thing. Whenever I've kind of gone into pride or stuff like that, it's like it's like I become an empty shell or something, you know? There's nothing there. Like, there's nothing, you know, it's just, I feel weak, you know? But when I give him the honor and the glory for this deposit of his Holy Spirit in my life that wants out of me to love on people, then, you know, it's a beautiful thing. So let me talk to all those that are, all of us that, let me read another scripture here. This is good. This came to me a couple of times. I have to repent more than once on things, okay? So that's instructive. I'm instructing you guys right now because we don't forgive just one time. If we forgive just one time, we're usually just doing it with our lips, okay? Not our hearts. Our hearts have not entered in yet. I mean, it's good you do it with your lips. I'll tell you, you heard Charlie Kirk's wife, eh? That was the most powerful thing that the world heard when she forgave his assassin. That was powerful. And you know what? She got help. She got help doing that. Do you remember that? She got help. Before she said it, she prayed right publicly. There was a prayer that went up to heaven, and then the words came out. It was not an easy thing, but she prayed it. And I believe that came deeper than just her lips. But she may too have to forgive that assassin again, and maybe once more, and maybe even again. And it's the same with us. Well, here's a scripture. It says this. It says, it's in Proverbs 24:17. If the scriptures are not speaking to you, then you're not reading them properly, you know? If they're not speaking right into your life and right into your situation, then there's something wrong with the way you're reading scripture, okay? Because sometimes we read scripture too quickly. We need to slow down. Sometimes we're not asking the Holy Spirit to deal in our hearts, and sometimes we're not kind of stopping when conviction begins to set in. Because it's easier to rush on and read two more chapters than to stop in that verse. But listen to this. It says, do not gloat when your enemy falls. When he stumbles, do not let your heart rejoice. Let me read it one more time. I don't think there's anybody in this room that hasn't done this, okay? Do not gloat when your enemy falls. When he stumbles, do not let your heart rejoice. My Bible is full of H's all over. H-H-H-H. Another one of my favorite words is heart. And the Bible is full of heart, talks about heart. Do not let your heart, when your enemy falls and stumbles, do not let your heart rejoice. The word gloat means to contemplate or dwell on one's own success or another's misfortune with smugness or malignant pleasure. To gloat with malignant pleasure. So what I see in this and the way that the Lord has instructed my heart in this is that when I look at another person, that I don't like or I don't agree with, and they could even be evil. They could be even a Saul of Tarsus, you know. And we're called to intercession, not to accusation. Okay, we're called to turn our judgments and our pettiness and our connoisseurishness into intercession. That's what we're called to do. You know, a lot of situations we have no control over. We can't change at all. We can't, you know, and so our criticism, it means nothing. It'll never reach their ears. It'll never affect change. It'll never do anything. But our prayers will do the exact opposite. Prayers stretch over geography. You know, prayers stretch really, really, really far. Really far. And you know what prayers often meet? They meet the intercession of another intercessor who's actually closer to that person than you are. And maybe they will have some impact upon that person. But so where do I want to conclude this morning? I want to conclude by telling you about a young man, 12 years old. Yeah, let me end here. So I was working in these group homes in the Niagara Peninsula while I was in Bible college, and there was a 12-year-old kid. I want to call him a 12-year-old adult who came from the streets of Toronto. He looked much older. He looked like a man, actually. He had a hardened face. His face was the face of a man in a 12-year-old body. He came into this group home, and we watched a transformation in that young man's life. As he was loved upon, as he was welcomed into a community there, we saw the transformation in his face. We saw him revert back to a childhood that was lost and stolen from him. I am so glad that we're alive at such a time as this. The ground is soft. God has softened the ground. He's moving by his Holy Spirit. If you've tried to talk to someone and you've met resistance, pray and then try again. Put yourself in proximity to that person, because they're likely hurting more today than they were when you first approached them. They've likely gone through more of life and more of pain and more of suffering and more of, you know, than when you first approached them. On Saturday, December 20th, which is probably it's probably going to be one of the busiest shopping days on the calendar, December 20th, and We're going to do this year what we've been wanting to do, and we're going to do it this year. We're going to assemble a group of singers from Sing Hosanna and from West Ottawa, and we're going to assemble these singers near the tallest escalator in Ottawa, the bottom of that escalator, and they're going to go up that escalator first. Some of our Congolese brethren are going to go up. This choir is going to go up and sing in their language. I think that'll gain a little attention in the mall, eh? Others of us are going to be lining the balconies up above, you know. And when the second group comes up, after the attention has been gained, because they're not only attractive, they're visually attractive, they're audibly, you know, wonderful. You know what I'm trying to say. And so they're going to go up that escalator, and then Hannah and another group are going to go up behind them, and it's going to be in English, okay? It's going to be in English. And it's going to be a song that grabs the attention. It's Christmas time, so it'll be Christmas oriented, you know, about the King, about Jesus. And they're going to go up, and then the group that's already up there are going to make their way down just quietly, and they're going to assemble for a third time going up. And then what we're going to have is we're going to have these little cards that I had this morning, but what we're going to do, this QR code, when people scan this QR code, they're going to see Leo and Hannah. And they're going to see me and Valerie, the four of us. They're going to see the four of us invite them to our Christmas Eve service. Okay? That's all. We're going to invite them to our Christmas Eve service. So we're not going to litter. We're not going to, you know, make a mess of Bayshore Shopping Center. We're just going to go up gently to people that we think might be receptive and say, would you like to come to our Christmas Eve service? We want you to have this, okay?
So, yeah, me too.
And you can have that. Take that with you. So, we'd love to have you. And then our Christmas Eve service will be with everyone else in mind. You know, everyone else in mind. It'll be somewhat traditional because people are used to, they want to come and hear the Christmas carols and that kind of thing. But it'll be the most beautiful time. We'll have some nice food for them. You know, we won't keep them long. You know, so that's what we're doing. So what I want from you is I want you to raise your hand if on Saturday, September 20th, you will join us at Bayshore Shopping Center to line up. Raise your hands. I'm waiting a few minutes. Come on. Nice and high. Up. Okay. December 20th. Okay. Hannah, back to you. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, thank you for softening our hearts in this hour, Lord God. You're doing a beautiful thing by your Spirit. And Lord, thank you that we don't walk this earth alone, Lord. Your presence goes with us. Your Holy Spirit is in us, Lord God. None of this can we accomplish, Lord, on our own. None of it, Lord. And I'm praying right now that for every single one of us, we will be surprised by the people that you draw us to in this next 24 hours or throughout this week, even in the next few days, that there will be people. Two things. One, Lord, you will put people in our hearts that we will pray for. As their hearts soften, you'll make opportunity for us to move closer to them and to speak with them. And secondly, that there will be people that we will, in fact, get to speak to. That we will get to speak to. And we might fumble through this thing a little bit, but we're not dependent on us. We're dependent on you, Jesus. It's your salvation. You're the Savior of the world. Would you save people, Lord, this week as you did in this past week, Lord? Would you draw people to yourself, Lord, in our city? Would you change our city? Would you change our city, Lord, for your glory? Would you let us be part of this massive harvest that's happening all over the earth and increasing in Jesus' name?